not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You're not to commit adultery. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Now that's the will of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I just got through reading in my devotions the books of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And King Nebuchadnezzar came in, and his army, and women with children were ripped up, and their babies grabbed by the heels, and their brains dashed out upon the wall. And all the virgins ravaged, and the young men slain, the old men despised, the Levites said look like sticks. And that was because they had committed spiritual adultery. Going after another god on every high hill, God said to Israel, he said, you're like an ass in heat. You'll not restrain yourself. And for their spiritual fornication, God destroyed their city, burnt down their temple, sent them into captivity. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father and our God, Lord, if you'd anoint us now with power in the unction, our Father, the Holy Ghost, thank you for this good meeting. Thank you, our Father, for the vision and foresight and hospitality, Lord, and just the good spirit and our Father, the unction of God that has gone into this meeting. We thank you. We don't take it for granted, Lord. We don't take this time, these people, this situation, our Father, for granted. We acknowledge it as the grace and power and our Father, the wisdom and work of the Holy Ghost of God. Now, if you'd anoint us and our Father, build our convictions and sway people's hearts and minds, and our Father, deliver some, our Father, who they're walking around, they're standing around that corner, our Father, by that strange woman's house. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have a few things to say about this. Lust is an inordinate craving, for anything, food or pleasure or things of the flesh, illicit sex. Lust not after her beauty, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. And I am convinced in my heart that lust is one of the most prevalent sins among Christian men that they have today. And we're going to have to deal with it. Every preacher that greatly influenced my life is out of the ministry now, not because of false doctrine, but because they fail. They fail with some woman, or in two of the cases, their wives ran off with other men. I'm talking about preachers' wives. And I only know one preacher who's not here tonight because of false doctrine. But I know several who's not here because of adultery. And we'll rail on these TV preachers and we'll cry out against them when the truth is many people have developed a sensitivity for fornicating, adultering preachers. It has become a mark of spirituality to have great compassion and concern for a fornicator and an adulterer, who, by the way, used the office of his ministry and the trust that was placed upon him by other men in order to perpetrate his filthy crimes and acts. But now we're told, restore him. Amen. If a man be taken in a fault, ye that are spiritual. It's become a mark of spirituality to have a big tolerance and an open heart. Listen, they're not overtaken in a fault. Amen. They dove in it. They jumped in it. We have classified all of these things in the ministry, ministerial burnout. Preacher friend of mine had that. Another one, they sent me a letter about him. It was midlife crisis. He got caught up in midlife crisis and ministerial burnout. And that's what it's being called, amen? And men are being sent to doctors and psychologists to be restored to the ministry. I've made a serious mistake. I've committed some indiscretion. No, you're a whoremonger. You understand me? You wicked devil. And lady, you're a whore. It's exactly what you are. Adultery in the ministry is a gross breach of trust. The California Bar Association passed a ruling among their members that any lawyer who is proven guilty of having sexual relations with a client will be disbarred. And you can hardly get a fornicating preacher defrocked anymore. They are not publicly censured. The ears of God's people are too delicate to hear about this. And so nobody preaches about it and nobody does anything about it. And maybe we're covering up for our own lust by not crying out against it. It's hard to cry out against something we're involved in. I'm telling you, hanging around these motel rooms in a meeting like this, amen, and staying up late at night and watching that television, amen, and some of you men who are traveling along, you're traveling alone and you're going to begin to do that and indulge in that. It's not going to be long till you fulfill that in your body, what you've conjured up in your mind. Not a doubt in my mind. There's not a doubt in my mind that that's what's happened to a lot of preachers. And I mean, it's all around us, isn't it? The strange woman. You can't go to the mall. You can't go anywhere. There's no place you can go, amen, without seeing some old half-dressed slut. I sure don't want to see it when I come to church. I told my people, you can believe this. You can believe this or not, but I've got church people here. I told my ladies, if I see your cleavage, I'll put a track in it. I have not seen another one since. Amen. But we're guilty of it. We're guilty of lust. We're guilty of lust. We allow it. The Bible says, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O God. And we indulge in filthy imaginations and let our minds run in gutters and places where it shouldn't run, where we're supposed to bring every thought into set, amen, into captivity. And we cannot allow lust and inordinate affection to control our minds. Job said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why should I look upon a maid? We need to make a covenant with our eyes. Adultery is illicit sex. It is unlawful sex. But thou shalt not commit adultery means also fornication. It means every kind of illicit and wicked sex. If you were to get Praying Hyde's book, if somebody had it, you'd find out that a great revival broke out in India among the missionaries as they were having one of their conferences like this. And one after the other of them began to get up and confess to the sin of adultery. And the leaders of that group went to Mr. Hyde and he said, we've got to do something about it. This is disgraceful. This is bringing reproach. And Praying Hyde said, I didn't start it and I ain't going to stop it. But Mr. Hyde said, you wouldn't believe how common fornication and adultery is among God's workers. There is an understanding of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter number 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and all thy work. Now, those two verses go together. One is an extrapolation or an extension of the other. God says if you're going to take one day off, then it follows in reason that you're going to work the other six. And the lesson is that the commandment extends not only to what is forbidden or what is to commanded, but it extends to all that's implied. If you're to take one day off, if God commands you to take one day off, then working the other 6 days is implied as an equal responsibility. And when the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery, then every avenue and doorway to adultery is forbidden. Kissing and petting and holding hands and touching and rubbing before marriage is forbidden by God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You won't hold hands, then you won't pet. If you won't pet, you won't kiss. If you won't kiss and pet, you won't commit adultery. So don't hold hands. You said, it's a sin to hold hands. You're looking at me. If you're not married, it's a sin to hold hands. Somebody said, oh, what innocent thing. I just want to hold her hand. If you just want to hold a girl's hand, hold your sister's hand. Hold your mother's hand. You see, it is sexual. It is meaningful. And the more innocent you are, the more content it has. And it's too much for you. Before marriage, no kissing, no petting, no nothing. Say, I'll never get married. But you won't get married that way. You probably have to. If that's forbidden, pornography is forbidden. Anything that excites, inflames the flesh is also forbidden. It's forbidden by God. Whosoever looketh upon a maid, too, not and looked after her. Whoever looks at a maid for the purpose of sexual stimulation, titillation, committeth adultery. You can't do it. God don't want you to do it. Sensual dress is forbidden. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of the harlot. There is an attire of the harlot. Well, it's exposed bosoms and split skirts and exposed thighs and going out in your underwear. Amen. You ain't supposed to, you girls ain't supposed to bathe with boys. Amen. 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 You don't take a bath with them, do you? You wouldn't go outside in your underwear, would you? Would you? Why do you go out in your pool in your underwear then? Ain't got a bit more on. That's forbidden by God. Why is it forbidden by God? Because it tears down innocency and it exposes people to the sin of adultery. And the world is rampant with it. And we're having more babies born out of wedlock than we do in. It's wrong. And it happens in the church. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not tempt to commit adultery. No suggestion of adultery. And by the way, all this real frizzy. Now, you ladies don't get mad at me, but all this unkempt hair and holes in your clothes, all that is a suggestion that try me, I might. Same way with earrings on boys. That's just a suggestion of it. It all goes together. It's all lewdness and wickedness. It all promotes the same thing. And Jehu was come to Jezebel, and Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face. I wonder what she wanted to do to Jehu. Counsel him? The Ten Commandments are to be obeyed from the heart. I'm not to struggle and to fight. Listen, men. I'm not to struggle and to fight continuously against the sins of carnal and fleshly temptation. It is not supposed to be a continual struggle in my life. Sooner or later, you'll wear out. You'll fall. You'll go down. I want to give you these few points. Turn to the book of Job, would you please, in 31. Job 31, verses 9 through 11. Job 31. I want to give you these points about adultery. Job chapter 31, verse 9. If mine heart had been deceived by a woman, or if I had laid in wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind to another. Let others bow down upon her. For this is a heinous crime. It is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. The word heinous means abominable, shocking, outrageous. It means hateful. It means horrendous. It means grave. It means infamous. The Holy Ghost of God said that adultery was what? What was it? Come on, I want you to hear me. I want you to tell me what it said it was. Come on. What's the matter with you? Don't you have... Amen. Put your finger on the word in the Bible, and I want to hear you say, I want to hear you say what the Bible says it is. Amen. It is a what? It is a heinous crime, a despicable crime, a hateful crime, a grave crime, a serious crime. It is despicable. It is not something to be. It is something to be despised. It is not something that should be exciting and titillating. It is not an affair. A couple came to my brother Jack Wood. He gave me this coat. And he always wants me to do his counseling when I'm there. He said, Jones, I ain't no counselor. And these people came in to Brother Wood, and he's telling me about it. And they said, Brother Wood, we need help. And he said, well, what's the matter? And they said, well, we're having an affair. He said, you're having a what? He said, you're having an affair. He said, you mean you two whoremongers are having sex with each other, if that's what you're trying to say? Amen? You two whoremongers having sex with each other? Is that what you're trying to say? You're having an affair? You ain't having no affair, you're a whoremonger. You ain't having no affair, you're a whore. It's a despicable, it's a disreputable crime. Is that what God said? Did God say that? It is a heinous crime. It is detestable. It is to be loathed and not enjoyed. I want to tell you something, lady. You have no business being allured and titillated and fascinated by reading about it in novels and books and your stinking old dirty magazine.
Amen. Come on. Hit it again.
You ain't got no business being entertained by it on HBO or any other hell boiled over. That's what Brother Lackey called HBO. He said it was hell boiled over. Poor old soul. I'm telling you right now, I was in his church, and the poor old soul had seen some of it. And he just, I mean, he wasn't really, you know, he just got loose sometime, and he began to describe what he had seen. My wife was trying to get out of the church or under the pew. She finally put her purse over her head, her Bible over her head. Amen. I was worried. Amen. But I'm telling you, he was describing what some of you are going to try to see tonight. Church, you evangelists and you preachers and missionaries, a church puts you up and expects you to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God and preach the Word of God in power, and you're there looking at that filthy thing for hours. We can't watch television and have revival. It is a grave sin. It's not something to be joked about. These comedians get on there and they tell jokes about adultery and jokes about fornication. Amen. It ain't something to be joked about. It's a heinous crime. Then you get over that when you got saved. Then you repent of those dirty jokes when you got saved. Then you repent of that blue humor when you got saved. If you didn't repent of it, maybe you're not saved. It is not a mistake. It's a sin. It's not an occupational disease. It's whoredom. It's not a psychological problem, midlife crisis. It's defilement. It's unclean. And one hath lewdly defiled his neighbor's wife. That's what God says. And another has defiled his sister. It's what God said. I read that this morning in the book of Ezekiel. God calls it defiled. It is infamous. But I have written unto you not to keep company with any man that is brother that is called a fornicator. Now I thought you told me I was supposed to go over to his house and witness to him and pray with him and invite him out to dinner. I'm not talking about lost people. God told me not to what? God told me not to keep company with him. Amen. If he's a pornographer, if he's, amen, he's got his house wired for HBO, I ain't going. My children ain't going. My children ain't going to spend a night with his children. It denounces the wedding vows, destroys the home, degrades the character, defames the reputation, debauches the pure, and defiles the body. It is a wicked sin to be judged by the judges. Listen to me. I want you to listen to this. This is my wife preaching. A sin against light can be explained by spiritual blindness. Amen? Paul says you can explain the unbelief of the Jews. Why? They're blind. Isn't that what the Bible says? They're blind. Amen? We can understand the sin of the lost. What are they? In whom the eyes of the mind of those, amen, have been blinded. Isn't that what it says? We can understand that. We can understand a man rejecting Christ because of spiritual blindness. We can understand the sin against the light. We can understand the sin against the light of the glorious gospel of Christ because of spiritual blindness. We can understand that. But my wife says that adultery is a sin against love. And a sin against love can only be explained by lust, greed, and gross selfishness. Do you hear me? A sin against love can only, a sin against your marriage vows can only be explained by lust, greed, and what? Gross selfishness. I'm going to indulge myself. I'm going to do this. If it destroys my ministry, my family, my children, it's a heinous crime. If I do it, it's a heinous crime. Can you picture the home of a fornicating preacher and the men of the church or a pastor find out about it and the wife doesn't know and the pastor goes over and knocks on the door and says, I've got something to tell you. Right away she thinks, oh no, my husband's been killed in a car wreck. He's in the hospital. He's had a heart attack. And the preacher says, you better sit down. This is pretty serious. And she says, oh no, something happened to my dear husband. And then the preacher says, well, you got a hold of yourself. Your husband has been found and caught red-handed with another woman. I'm going to tell you what. He and her both would be better off if it would have been a car wreck.
That's right. Yes, yes. That's right.
You can say, that's too harsh, that's too strong. Nathan said to David, how be it? Because of this deed, thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery is a horrible thing. I want you to look in Jeremiah chapter number 23, if you would, please. If you'd look in the book of Jeremiah in chapter number 23, we're going to look at verse 14. Adultery is a heinous crime Adultery is a horrible thing. I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery. Would you put your finger on that word? I want you to tell me now. Adultery is a heinous crime, but I want you to tell me again. What is it? Tell me what it is. It is a horrible thing. You know what the Bible says? It's a heinous crime. It's a horrible thing. It defiles the body. It soils the mind. It carries disease. David said, my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. I had a young couple's children in Christian school. This man was a pastor. Pastor's children in Christian school. He came to withdraw his child just suddenly. I didn't know what was wrong. I didn't know we had done something wrong or what had done wrong. If he was upset, I wanted to find out about it. He was real upset. And I said, brother, I really think you owe me some explanation. He said, well, I really do. He said, I began to have some trouble, and I went to the doctor, and I've got venereal disease. And he said, I've never been with another woman. Where'd he get it? His wife had been with another man. Right out of my Christian school. A girl moved out of there. Their family took the children out of Christian school and moved to another state. She got around the age of graduation, and they allowed her to go to spring break. She came back. In a few months, she had all the symptoms of AIDS. She gave birth to the baby. In a few months, she was dead, and the baby has AIDS.
Baby died
with AIDS. I'm going to tell you something, young man. That's a horrible thing.
Amen.
She was just going to go down there and have what? Good time. I mean, out of a Christian school. Her daddy was... Listen to me. Are you listening to me? Her daddy was a missionary. He buried his daughter with AIDS. He buried his grandbaby with AIDS. He said, it'll never happen to me. You're just the one it's going to happen to. Adultery has terrible consequences. Whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doth it destroyeth his own soul. Well, y'all are quiet. See, you could go either way when Brother Hasbrook was preaching, but now ain't nothing you can do, is there? You can't leave, can you? Let me tell you something. I've dealt with this. Other men have dealt with this. It'll destroy your character.
Yes, sir.
No sooner than you do the horrible thing of commit adultery, then you'll begin to lie.
Yes, sir.
You'll begin to lie. You'll lie to your wife. You'll lie to your brother. You'll lie to the people who love you. You'll lie to the people you commit adultery with. You'll just be a liar. So now you're an adulterer and what? A lie. Won't be long, you'll begin to steal money.
Yeah.
Amen? You'll begin to steal money. You'll steal it from people. You'll steal it from God. You'll steal it wherever you can get. And you're not far from just a life of debauchery and abandoning your own children. It'll defy... Crime. It's a horrible thing. It's a habit-forming sin. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that abhor the Lord shall fall therein. It's a trap. There's no satisfaction. And your wicked soul just keeps craving and craving, amen, and planning the next episode, and it captures your mind and your thought, and you've got yourself into a pit that you can't what? Can't get out of. You find yourself looking and lusting and looking over your shoulder to magazine rack. I have a brother, he weighs about 400 pounds, Victor Alvarez. And he and I were preaching in Mexico, and he was interpreting for me, and I got on this subject of pornography and adultery. And I said a few words about it, and then he preached about 15 minutes. And I turned around to Victor, and I said, "Did I say all that?" And he said, "You said all of that." Man, it got quiet in that building, and I said, "Victor, what did you say?" He said, "All I did was name the Mexican publications that these men read."
Amen, brother.
A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple. She knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house, on the seat of the high places of the street, and call to the passers-by who go right on their way. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. For him that wanteth understanding, she says, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret places is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and her guests are in the depths of hell. I had a young man in my church, because his wife was pregnant, who went out and got him a whore. Brought a whore into their house, into their own bed. I saw him the other day in my living room. He'd gotten some news from the court. He had been arrogant and abusive, but he got the news from the court that he wasn't going to get custody of nothing. And his head was hung down, and he looked awful, and his face was all blanched and white. And somebody will say, "Don't you have pity on him?" He didn't have pity on nobody. And I'll tell you, you'll get yourself into something that you what? You can't get out of. The only way to get out is to stay out! Thou shalt not commit adultery. Galatians chapter 5:19, if you'd look there, please. I have just one or two other things to say. And the Bible says in Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. There are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. The first four sins of the flesh are sexual sins, and believers are capable of this sin. I'm telling you right now that if you're trying to fight it, I had a wonderful little missionary walk up to me the other day at Brother Homer Smith's, and he tugged on my coat, and he said, "Brother Jones, you remember me?" And I said, "Yes, son, I remember you. How's it going?" And he said, "Oh," he said, "you preached that message," and he said, "I got under such terrible conviction about that." And he said, "You know, Brother Jones, I got to feeling so bad about that." And he said, I just got alone with God, and he said, "I just wanted to come by and tell you I got victory over it." I'm telling you, brother, that in the flesh we can do it. The flesh is corrupt through what? Deceitful lust. If you keep that old man, if you hang around that old man, if you're unwilling to bring that old man to the cross and let the Holy Ghost crucify you with Jesus Christ, you're as capable of that sin as anybody you ever heard of. And your life is ruined, and your ministry is ruined, and your marriage is ruined, and your kids have lost confidence in you. And you've destroyed more than you can ever put back together. Our flesh is not immune to it. We're not immune to it. Divorce. Divorce is a major cause of adultery. I'm going to read it to you out of the Bible. It's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, and it's in other places. Now, I do like Brother Hasbrook, and you say, "Oh, that's only written to the Jews under the law." Oh, da! But I say unto you that whosoever putteth away his wife, save for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And he saith unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her, and whosoever shall put away her husband and be married to another committeth adultery. Who said that? Jesus said that. You say, well, what's the interpretation of that? Committeth adultery. Well, in my case, committeth adultery. So you calling me an adulterer? I'm reading the Bible. I'm preaching the Bible. What are you listening to? What are you believing? We've allowed it, and now we're eat up with it. I wish some young man that had some brains and some talent and a little time on his hands would go back and research mass murders, rape, teen pregnancy, and all of these kind of crimes like that since Roe versus Wade, and see how much and how many moral things the allowance of abortion has caused in this country. And how many things abortion opened the door to. I tell you, you'd be surprised how morals have degenerated since abortion. You couldn't tie it to another thing. Once you're willing to kill babies, you're willing to do anything. The same thing goes for this thing of adultery. Once we begin to tolerate right. Everything that leads up to it, amen, amen, and everything that promotes it, and everything that causes it, we're going to have hell by the acre! Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I thank God that there is forgiveness. Isn't that something? Probably be a sin for me to preach all this and not say there's what? There's forgiveness. Jesus died for it. David committed it. And he said, wash me and I shall be what? What did he say? Wash me and I shall be clean. Purge me and I shall be what? Whiter than snow. God could cleanse you. But you see, you won't do what the preacher said to do. And that's the one thing you've got to do to be cleansed. What's that, Brother Hasbrook? Repent. Repent of your magazines. Repent of your novels. Repent of your videos. Repent of your cable. Repent of your Palomars. I told the people in my church the other night, I said, I never hug any girls. I never hug anybody else's wife. Yeah. I never do it. I said, it's up to you men not to let any man hug your wife. Not let any man hug your... If you see a man hug your teenage daughter, you go up to him and said, buddy, keep your hands off of my daughter or I'll break all your fingers. And if he's bigger than you, then get Brother Hasbrook to go with you. Nobody bigger than him. He'll break his fingers. And you girls... don't allow it.
Hey, go ahead. Happens everywhere.
Don't allow it. Daddy, don't you allow it? People snaking around the church of God, lurking on the edges, looking for prey. But there's forgiveness. This woman was caught in the very what? Act. You said, see there, Brother Jones, you ought to be forgiven to these brothers. Listen, she was bushwhacked. They ain't. Nobody tricked them. It's a heinous sin. It's a horrible crime. It's the sin of the flesh. It's to be punished by the judges. But Jesus died for it. Boy, if I could sing, I can't sing a lick. You know, trying to find the key I sing in. It don't exist. But if I could sing, I'd sing the words to that song that says, the blood's gone deeper. then the stain is gone. I'm telling you, if we'll confess our sins, he'll cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. But no, we're gonna just keep our sins, and amen, we're gonna take care of them later, and everything will be all right, and I'm gonna pull up. No, you better take that carcass to the cross, sir. And that's the last point. There is victory. We do not have to live with defiled minds. Now, you fellas looking at me? You looking at me? You work hard and you get tired. And your mind gets fatigued. And it's hard to keep a dead, tired mind on God. I got that way one time in a building program. And I just got consumed with that building. Instead of being consumed with God, I was consumed with that building. Many a man has been consumed with a ministry. I was consumed with that building. And I wasn't hearing from God, and the Bible doesn't, when you don't hear from God, amen, and you're not in fellowship with God, there's a million words in that Bible, but there ain't one sermon. You can't find nothing in there that'll preach. And I thought, my God, it's gone. And I was just leafing through my Bible, and just the Holy Ghost directed my thoughts to the book of my eyes to the book of Isaiah, and I read, "Let the unrighteous man forsake his way, and the wicked man his thoughts, and I will abundantly pardon." And I said, "Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. If I'll just let this mind be in me, which is in Christ Jesus, if I'll just let it, amen, I'll have victory." Yeah. It's not a matter, listen, fellas, it's not a matter of struggling and struggling and struggling against sin, is it? It's a matter of yielding to Jesus Christ and accepting the finished work of Christ in your life and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Against such there what? Is no law. The way not to commit adultery is not just to determine not to. The way not to commit adultery is what? To yield your members as members to righteousness. That's what I need to do. There's victory. Flee fornication. Man, get away from it. Get out! If we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God made us. And God made us sexual beings. You listen to me, young man? God made you, and God made you a sexual being. You understand that? You say, then what's wrong with sex? We are not as God made us. We are fallen creatures. Only the Holy Ghost and the blessed Lord Jesus Christ can deliver our minds and bodies from sin. Nothing else can. If I'm in fellowship with Him, if I'm surrendered to Him, and I'm submitted to Him, I will not be entertained, enthralled, fascinated, and titillated by sin. It's who you yield yourself to. It's what you give your mind to. And some of you just give in because it's comfortable. It's relaxing. Might as well say amen. I'm a man. I'm looking you right in your God-given eyeballs, sir. You can't allow it. Brother Green says that you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but bless God, you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. You can't stop those thoughts from coming and those fiery darts from coming, son, but you don't have to allow them to stay. You can throw up the shield of faith. God's given you something to protect your mind, the helmet of salvation. You can surrender yourself to Jesus Christ and have victory over what? Over sin. He said, "Fear not, I've overcome the world." Not you and I, but He has. You remember Jacob wrestling with God? You see, that's what some of you are doing. You see, a man can resist, just like the preacher preached. Men can resist the presence and power of God. Jacob did. How did God get him to yield? Put his hand out, put his leg out of joint where he couldn't wrestle anymore, and all he could do was hang on. He got the idea, didn't he?
Yeah.
Then he said, bless me, bless me. So you just need to come and get a hold of the feet of Jesus and say what? Bless me, deliver me. Commend yourself to Him and let Him do what? Keep you. Isn't that wonderful? We can have victory over this. Oh, listen. The other day my wife and I were laying in bed together and I looked over at her and I told her, I said, hon, isn't it wonderful? And she said, what? And I said, oh, it's so wonderful. I'm laying here thinking about it and it's so wonderful. It's so good. And she says, well, what's so wonderful and so good? Tell me so I'll know too. I said, hon, there's not a skeleton in the closet. I'm laying here and I know there's not anybody in the world, there's not any woman or young woman in the world that can say, he put his hands on me, he did this or he did that. The slate is clean, there's not a skeleton in the closet, and it's all the grace of God. Just the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? Contrast to what some guys, amen, when the phone rings, they... Good night. Amen, brother. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Just go to bed at night with your wife, and there's not a skeleton in the closet.
Thank God.
Not even been in a compromising position.
Amen.
Now, as ugly as I am, you don't need a whole lot of grace to get that done. But some of you guys may be in trouble. I've been kissed by one woman. It wasn't my wife. My daughters. I preached on husband, love your wives so hard one time in a Mexican church. They got the message and they lined me up and all the church came by and shook my hand. And before I could stop her, some little Mexican woman jumped up, kissed me on the cheek and patted my hand and said, thank you. Gracias, gracias. And that's it. My wife standing right there. Listen. Thank God. No fooling around down on the job. No. Just clean what? Clean conscience. You could have it. He'll cleanse your conscience from what? Dead works, won't He? To serve what? The living God. Let's pray. Father, bless our Father. Deliver somebody from this temptation. Our Father, deliver somebody from this horrible sin, this heinous crime, that our ears, our Father, this God, this whole year, we won't get a phone call, we won't hear about anybody that just fell. Oh God, I pray You'd work in the hearts of these men, our Father, in the lives of these ladies and these young people tonight. Some of these men need to come, and like Job, just need to say, I've made a covenant with mine eyes, why should I look upon a maid? Just get that thing behind them and surrender their lives and their minds and their thoughts to Jesus Christ. And have victory over this sin and this temptation and pornography and television, and magazines and stories and entertainment. In Jesus' name, amen.
181.